Here in John chapter 7, I want to look at the first 10 verses. And I've never heard this preached this way. I've heard this passage a whole lot. You've probably heard a lot of messages on it. And none of the commentators or anything had any information along these lines, but I thought this was a blessing to me. It'd be a blessing to you. That centurion, just like that rock, that centurion is Christ. We always look at ourselves and we're so good for praying for somebody else because we're fine. I'm all right. The second we start thinking we're okay, we're in trouble. I sent y'all that message to Brother Gaves, and Marvin had echoed it that evening. As soon as we think we're doing good and we're the saved ones, we're about to be brought down a peg or two. But that centurion was Christ. I hope we can see that this morning. Look here in verse 1. If there's a title over top of your passage there, mine says, Jesus heals a centurion's servant. What did the Lord come to this earth to do? To seek and to save the lost, to heal us. That's us. Ain't we the sick servant? Look here in verse 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent his friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. There's two times in the scriptures. Brother Todd preached a message on this years ago, and I wrote down some notes, and I thought, someday I won't preach that. And I started studying a little bit, and then I get away from it. And there's twice in the scriptures Christ marveled. He marveled at their unbelief, and he marveled at this man's faith. He marveled. And I kept going over them notes back to it, and finally I was going to get ready to preach it. And then I realized I had already preached it. If you ever feel bad, you get home from services, you think, that was a good message. That really blessed my heart. Well, what was it about? I don't remember. Well, you ought to be the one to preach it. And I said, somebody, I get through preaching somewhere. I said, what's your text? I said, well, I've been looking at it all week. You reckon if anybody ought to remember what the text is, it's me. I spent 40 hours on it. This man had authority. He spoke these things, and Jesus marveled at him. And he turned about and said to the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. This man had the greatest faith in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. Through this centurion's great faith, the sick servant was healed by God. You get that? There's so many horrible things that people preach from this, and we ought to be diligent. If the Lord's done that, we ought to look to Him for all things. And we ought to pray for those that are under our care. That we have any influence over whatsoever, those that we don't, servants. People ain't got enough sense to pray for themselves. People that don't yet know God. We ought to pray to our Lord for these things. But I want to see this morning the characters in this story. The Lord Jesus Christ here. I want you to see Him as the Father. That's His name. He said, I, my Father, are one. So that's right. That's not wrong to consider Him as the Father, is it? He said they're one. This centurion, he was a Gentile. I had some dealings with that. He was a human just like those Jews were human, but he was different, wasn't he? He was different than they were. He was over 100 Roman soldiers. That's what a centurion is, a centur. That's 100. And he was good to them. He was loving to them. A centurion is Christ. He was made a man like me. And this is kind of an inverted picture. He was made a Jew. Why? I'm not. I'm not. He was. And this man is, he's a bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, but he's different than these Jews. This is a Gentile. Our Lord came, was made a man, was made a Jew, made under the law for us, our substitute. And he intercedes for us on our behalf because of love. Because of love of that kingdom, and he builds the church. That was the profession of these elders about this centurion. And the sixth servant, that's us. What's a servant's name? Ain't even brought up. It's not a maid servant, but it's him or her. It was his servant. It was a centurion servant. And it was in sickness. That's all that was in him. And all the work and all the conversation and everything that took place was outside of them and on their behalf. And this one was made a willing bond slave. A willing bond slave. That was who was mentioned. Our Father mentioned another one to Satan one time, didn't he? He said, "Have you considered my servant, Job?" And we considered him. Briefly, the elders, they come with a message. That's the preachers. They either give glory to man or to God. There's no in between. There's either a message that glorifies God or there's a message that glorifies man. Now, he can glorify 99.9% of God and give just a touch of leaven. But it's one or the other. It says in verse 2, "And a centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die." We're that sick servant. The children of God given to Christ before time as his inheritance for him to redeem, for him to preserve, for him to watch over the bishop of our souls and be raised with him. We're given to him. How are we dear to him? You ever ask yourself that? I see him as altogether lovely. How in the world does he see me as dear, as precious? Did this centurion, did he care for this servant because he was irreplaceable? And so, "Well, here's my servant. This is the man that shines my shoes." Now, if he dies, what's the first emotion? What's going to happen to my shoes? Is that a good master? That's unloving, isn't it? We understand that. If my child, if Jared empties the dishwasher every day, and he's the dishwasher emptier, and he dies, who's going to empty my dishwasher? If I'm concerned about those things, I don't love my son. He was concerned for that servant because he loved him. In Isaiah 43, it said, "I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Why? Since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable. And I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men and people for thy life. Because I loved you. First." You're precious. How could we be precious? Well, we're mediated by that centurion, by the captain of our salvation. That's how. Because he wanted to. We're too sick to talk to him. We're too sick to do anything. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Yet he loved us, those that were given to him. Like our brethren in Adam, we're no different. Everybody born of Adam, we're all sin sick and we're all ready to die. Everybody. That's Brother Gabe said that the other day, and I've done that too. You're flown an airplane or drove down the road and you just see, just be in traffic. We get mad. I got to hurry up and get there. Millions of people are on this globe, billions of people, and they're ready to die, and they will die. And they're going to meet God one day. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And all servants get sick. All servants die. But this servant is different. This servant was the centurion's bond slave. This man had been made willing. And he was dear to that captain, and that captain, that centurion, was dear to him. They loved each other. They did. He heard his servant was sick and he went down to that servant's house because the servant couldn't go up to his house. And he said, "Where's your wife and your children? How y'all holding up? Do you need anything? What can be done? Well, he's sick or something. There's something inside of him we can't see. And he's going to die. I'll go to God. I'll go to God on his behalf. You get that? Verse 2 says that a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. This centurion, this is the first thing we see. He knew God, and he beseeched God to do the work of giving life on that dying person's behalf. The Lord said in John 17, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. The master said that. The king said that. He said, these are yours, Father. I'm coming to you. Who was he praying to? The Father. What's the centurion doing? He's sending word to God on behalf of a sick servant. Christ prays for us to the Father. Why would he do that? The Lord answered him from heaven, didn't he? And he said, it was a thunder of the angels. And he said, I hear him, but that was out loud for you to hear. This is for your benefit. How many times should we pray to the Lord? How many times should we trust him fully to do all things well? And we don't. How many times do I and I don't? Oh, what tie I picked out this morning. How I treated that dog this morning because Josiah wasn't there to feed him. I had to fetch food for that dog. Should have thanked the Lord for that because he fed this dog. Our captain did it for us. You get that? In all of our failures and all our inability, because we are unable and we're unwise, he's our wisdom. We're unholy, he's our sanctification. I've never done an act of good things out of this old heart. He's our righteousness. He's redeemed us. Verse 4 says, and when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly. Make haste. Make haste. Luke 7:4. They came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Remember whenever Philip was sent down there to talk to that Ethiopian eunuch? He said, well, I'm going to go get me a sandwich first and might take a nap. So I'm rested up, good for the trip. He beelined for it, didn't he? These elders, these preachers, elders and pastors and preachers, all the same thing, bishops in the scriptures, different aspects of an office, but they're the preachers. They instantly go to the Father. They instantly go to the Father. And they tell of the worthiness of that captain. Verse 5, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Now this is preached accurately two different ways. These elders, if they were just religious folks, if this is just the people that were appointed to an office in Judaism, they're trying to indebt Jesus, giving them reasons for this man, this physical centurion, for his request to be heard. He's good. He's good. He loves us. He's a Roman and he loves us. And he's built us a synagogue. He's a heathen Gentile and he's building churches for us. Now somebody that do something like that deserves to have their prayers answered. Like I said, they're either preaching the truth or they ain't. There ain't no in between. They're either looking out for men's souls or they're looking to profit off of them. If true elders, that's if it's false ones, but if true elders, they're instantly coming to the Father saying, Christ is worthy. He's loved us and he built this church. You know, I've heard that, but then it hits home sometimes. When you start preaching, God's the one who's listening. The angels, they want to listen in. This is for your benefit, for my benefit, to our good. And I want you to be happy with the messages. I want you to be blessed in your hearts. I want you to be comforted, and the souls only God can comfort. But making people happy, making mankind pleased, man pleasers ain't my concern. I work for a different authority. Is God pleased with it? Is he honored in it? Is that why we came here today? Well, we got to go to church. That's what we do on Sunday. Well, I want to be feel good or whatever, some motive. Or do we come here to exalt Christ and honor him? Is that we've come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him? to thank him and to lift him up in this community. Is that why we're come? And to learn of him. To learn of him. This captain is worthy. And I always keep saying captain in the army. If he's over 100 people, that's a captain. That's an O3. It's an officer. They had 100 people under. Centurion, same thing. They got 100 people under. This captain of our salvation, is he worthy? Why? Because of love for our nation. He loved those heathens that the Lord gave him as an inheritance. He said, I'll give the heathens to you for an inheritance. And he said, I love them. They're mine. Is he the one that built this church? Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh in vain. He is to be the one that builds the synagogue, builds the churches. It's his body. He's the head. Over in Luke 14, it says, there's great multitudes with him. He turned to them and he said, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. This is the context the Lord's speaking in. And then he says, with that's the theme. He gives the example. For which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? If you're going to go build a house, don't you sit down and do the math and say, well, we was talking about real estate. I saw a thing on real estate going up, and I thought of you, Bob. You talked about buying your house. And they said, yeah, they said back in the 50s, they bought a house for 3 raspberries. If it costs 10 raspberries, and I don't have 10 raspberries, well, I can't build a house. That all stands the test of time. Somebody ain't going to go look up how much inflation was in 2024 down the road. The Lord said, they'll laugh at you. Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundations, not able to finish it, and all that behold him begin to mock him. Make fun of him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What's wrong with you? Didn't you have enough sense? Don't you own a calculator? What made you think you'd build that building? Now, is the Lord teaching us about how to be a good contractor, a general contractor? Christ, the captain of our salvation, this great centurion that we're the bondservants of, he counted the cost of building his church. He loved it and he gave himself. Himself was the cost. And he laid down his life for us. And it's paid for and finished. It's plumb built. We're just waiting for the bricks to be stuck in. And waiting for it to come to pass. That's it. There, verse 6. Luke 7, verse 6. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far off, far from the house, the centurion sent friends with him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come to thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. I'm not worthy to be in your presence, but you just speak it, and my servant will be healed. First, we saw that centurion knew God. He beseeched God to do the work of giving life. And second, we see here he's humble. He's humble. This is true humility. True humility. People get up and Pentecostal churches or whatever, picky denomination, picky poison, and they'll get up and try to outdo one another. It's competition. Oh, I'm a sinner. Oh, I'm bad. And it's for show. Just seeing which one can outdo the other one. I understand that. You get to telling stories about being wild when you was younger, then, oh, that reminds me of this story, and that reminds you of that story, and that reminds me of this story. And we're just trying to tell which one's got the bigger stories. This is true humility. True humility. How could the Lord say that? Our guilt and our shame was laid on him. Our problem came his problem. He said in Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me from the words of my roaring? He goes on and says, I cried unto thee. They cried unto thee and they were delivered. They trusted in thee and they were not confounded, but I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of people. How could he say something like that? Just like a sheep before its shears is dumb and open not his mouth. Why? Because of that servant, he was made guilty. And he said, Lord, don't even come in my house. I'm bearing that one's filth. You just be good to that one. And because of that act, this is good. This is where it meets us now. Let's hang with me. Because of that act, that servant's going to be healed. The Lord said there in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Who's the blessed man? Lord Jesus Christ is the blessed man. He's made these things unto us. And if we see his poor spirit, that brings us down. If we see him mourning, makes us mourn. If we see him meek, not weak, meek. Moses was the meekest man. Well, he didn't say, hello, how are you? He walked into Pharaoh's court and said, let me tell you what God says. But he gave all credit to him. That's the meekness. Third, we see the authority and the power ascribed to God alone. Verse 7. Wherefore, neither I thought myself worthy to come unto thee, but say unto word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to one, go, and he goeth, another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. I understand this power. Christ is our potentate. He's the only authority. If he says it, it's done. People say, well, God's trying to do something. God ain't never tried to do nothing. He ain't God. He really wants, pretty please wishes he could do this. No, if he wants it, it's done. His will shall be done. Lord, your will be done. That's why we talk to pray that, because that prayer is going to be answered. It's going to happen. All power, honor, and the Lord's will, it's all dependent on the Father. That's what our Lord prayed. He said, or told Pilate, he said, thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Because we forget. You ever forget and think that we can do something and realize we ain't got no power at all. I can't walk from here to that door unless the Lord does it. Lord, if you're willing, you just say a word. I understand. I know something about power. I can enter into this. I had some authority. I was a platoon sergeant. And I'd say, you boys go on your feet. Half right, face front, in the rest position, move. And they start doing push-ups, drinking water, and go get them a sick call slip and a towel. And we put them to work. They did whatever I said. I get that a little bit. Lord, oh, could you even imagine? All the electrons, you can't even, who could count? All moving exactly as he wills it. And it's not that he's just a sovereign. That'd be terrible if he was evil and mean. He's holy. He's holy. And that's right, Lord, you just say the word. And if you don't say the word, then my servant dies and that's fine too. But you say the word. But this isn't just an army captain interceding for somebody that washes the floor, scrubs the floors. This is Christ as our mediator, petitioning his Father on our behalf, whoever lives to make intercession for us. He walked into Solomon's porch one day, and the Jews came around about him, and they said to him, how long will you make us doubt? If you're the Christ, you tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, I told you, and you believe me not. I told you. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me, but you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Was that servant two counties over? No, he was there with his master, wasn't he? And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And he says, I and my Father are one. And the Jews took up stone to stone him. That was complete submission to the Father, wasn't it? Now, the God's manifest in the flesh, this is a great mystery. People make it too simple. I mean, I want to be plain, I want to be clear, but somebody gets them a Bible, and they say, well, I learned John 3:16, I'm ready to be a theologian now. And they say, oh, you know about the... Oh, I know, yeah, I'm a Christian, I know all these things. The Lord said, great's the mystery of godliness. Great Paul said he saw through a glass darkly. What do you think we see? Great apostle used more than them all. This is mysterious, but Christ on our behalf fully submitted himself to his Father. That's what he said from the cross. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Turn myself over to you, lock, stock, and barrel. in complete humility and at the same time complete trust. That gives me goosebumps. Doesn't that warm your heart? Isn't that amazing? For who? The servant that's laid up sick, it's curled up in a fetal position in the corner, ain't even talking. Why aren't they like us? Remember Stephen praying those words of our King on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. As they killed him. And Stephen was so good. Look what great faith he mustered up. That was Christ in Stephen. The Lord said, I'll put my spirit in him and I'll walk in him. And if you ever done something good, somebody says, that was good. Well, that wasn't me. That was Christ doing it in me, wasn't it? Do we say those things or would he say what good things we did? What's the reaction of the Father to Christ's prayer for our intercession? He said, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this hour, I came. This is the very cause I came. He said, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I both glorified it and I'll glorify it again. When did he glorify it again? He said in John 17, I've glorified thee on earth. I've finished the work thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had before the world was. The Father heard him, didn't it? Now, this centurion is a picture of Christ and our Lord there being a picture of the Father. What's the result of Christ's intercession for his people? Look at verse 8. For I also am a man under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This is the best faith I've seen. The Lord marveled. The Lord marveled. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wonderful. Is that because of us? No, that's because of the servant. The faithful one. That's because of him. And us in him, the Father looks at those people in him and says, come home. Wonderful. Glad to have you. Look what a great job they done. Oh, man. Because he sees his son, doesn't he? And here Christ says to this centurion, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found a servant whole that had been sick. What's the end state of all this? This unnamed servant that ain't done anything, didn't even say a word, has been made whole because of that great captain's intercession and his faith and his love and his building of the church and all those things. And the Father's happy with it. And he marvels, this is just fabulous. Because the Father's pleased in the Son. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Then he gave a command to those people that are his. Hear him. Hear him. In Christ. That's conditional love. There's no such thing as unconditional love. The Lord loves us because Christ is lovely. He's worthy. And he just said, great job. Great job. And we're healed because of that. The dead are healed. Gave life. What a thought, huh? Now, we can learn a lot from that centurion too, can't we? If we see Christ in that, well, now we've got the motivation to do it. I want to be taught. You want to be taught? I want to be taught of God. I want you to be taught of God too. Let's pray together.